Welcome, you filthy horror hounds, to a deep, dark dive into the macabre marvels of the silver screen. Buckle up, motherfuckers, because tonight, under the sickly glow of the full moon, we peel back the gory layers of an actress whose scream could curdle blood, whose stare could freeze hell over, none other than the queen of demonic possession herself, Linda motherfucking Blair. I'm your host, Dr. Ghoul Eula, and this isn't your grandma's movie trivia night. No, this is where we relish the raw, uncut terror that only a true horror aficionado can handle. If you're easily scared shitless or get queasy at the sight of a little, or a lot, of the red stuff, then scram. We're here to celebrate the gut-wrenching, shit-your-pants moments that Linda Blair delivered to us on a goddamn silver platter. Linda Blair, with those wide, innocent eyes, descended into the depths of cinematic hell as Regan McNeil in The Exorcist, giving us one of the most fucked up, disturbing performances ever to be seared into the retinas of the unsuspecting public. And what a goddamn performance it was, spawning countless sleepless nights in a cultural phenomenon that catapulted this unassuming young actress into the blood-soaked halls of horror legend. Tonight, we pay homage to the films that made us double-check our locks, clutch our crucifixes a little tighter, and question whether every creak and groan in the dark was just our houses settling or something far more sinister creeping closer from the bowels of the underworld. So, let me take you on a twisted journey through the filmography of an actress who didn't just play a part in horror movies, she fucking redefined what it means to leave an audience psychologically scarred and begging for more. From her iconic head-spinning antics to the often overlooked gems where she battled forces from beyond the grave, we delve into the dark heart of Linda Blair's contribution to the genre that keeps on giving. Nightmares, that is. We'll slash through the sequels, the obscure, the panned, and the cult classics. This undisputed scream queen didn't just tiptoe around the genre, she dove in headfirst and splattered it across the big screen like the guts of a freshly gutted victim. Blair had a knack for embodying the vulnerable, the cursed, and the downright fucking terrifying, all with an intensity that could make Satan himself piss his pants. Linda Blair's impact on the horror scene is as permanent as the scars on our collective psyche. And tonight, we don't just talk about it, we revel in it. We dive face-first into the gory details and come up smiling with entrails between our teeth, because that's how we show our goddamn respect to the ones who did it best. So, prepare to be possessed by the spirit of true horror greatness. Stick around, listen close, and remember, when Dr. Ghoul Eula talks horror, the devils dance and the angels fucking weep. Welcome to the Scream Fest, you magnificent deranged creeps. Let's get this unholy retrospective started. Alright, let's dive into the guts and gore of Linda Blair's fucking origin story, before she became the horror icon that could scare the shit out of you with a mere glance. Born on January 22, 1959, in St. Louis, Missouri, Linda fucking Blair was destined to unsettle the calm and rattle some motherfucking cages from the start. Her family moved to Westport, Connecticut, where Linda, a fiery and adventurous little shit, began modeling at the young age of 5. She stepped into the spotlight like she was meant to be there, working her way into commercials and knocking it out of the park with her natural chops for acting. But this wasn't some pansy-ass childhood stardom shit. No, this little badass had some serious mettle. Blair was all of 6 years old when she landed her first acting gig in The Way We Live Now, but let's be real, nobody gave a damn until she scared the living shit out of every soul with her role in The Exorcist. Y'all might think, oh, child actors have it easy, but back then, it was a tough fucking road. To score the role that'd make her a legend, Blair beat out hundreds of other hopeful little fucks for the part of Regan McNeil, a sweet girl turned demonic cunhibe in The Exorcist. She snagged that role with a mix of raw talent, undeniable charisma, and the balls to take on a character that'd piss the bed and spew vomit like a goddamn hose. Blair was only 14 years of age, but she showed a range that would make veterans crap their pants. And let's not forget the shit ton of controversy it sparked, with fuckers losing their minds over a young girl being put through such hellish paces on screen. Before she played Regan, Blair had the face of an angel and the screen presence that was deceptively serene. It made the fucked up transformation in The Exorcist even more jarring. How this innocent-looking kid could flip and channel such profound darkness is beyond any regular shit, it was downright otherworldly. It wasn't all demon faces and pea soup, though. She was a horse-loving girl with a passion for animal welfare, a bit of purity amidst the fuckfest of horror that her career would become known for. The pre-Exorcist era of Blair's life laid the haunted foundation for her to become the Scream Queen, the epitome of terrified innocence corrupted. It was this irony, Linda Blair, the youthful innocent, turning into a vessel for cinematic terror, that etched her into the annals of horror history. But she wasn't just some one-hit horror wonder, She learned to ride that wave of fame with the poise of a vet dodging real-life horrors. So, there you have the fucked-up fairy tale of Linda Blair's early life. It's the origin story laced with a mix of normal kid shit, like showing ponies and dreaming big, twisted with an appetite for horrifically mature roles. Quite a fucking combo if you ask me, and one that was only the start of Linda Blair's wild ride through the horror genre. With the groundwork laid for a career steeped in darkness and deviancy, nobody, and I mean none of you sick fucks out there, could have predicted the bloody path that this once angel-faced girl would carve through horror cinema. Alright, faithful freaks and fright enthusiasts, it's time to dive deep into the supernatural shitstorm that catapulted Linda Blair into the Horror Hall of Fame. I'm talking about the motherfucking masterpiece that is, The Exorcist, from 1973. Hold on to your holy water, because we're about to exorcise the hell out of this one. When we mention Linda Blair and horror in the same goddamn breath, there's no fucking around. It's The Exorcist that slams into your mind like a sledgehammer to a demon-possessed pumpkin. This little piece of horror history casts Blair as Regan McNeil, a young girl who finds herself host to a foul-mouthed, pea-soup-vomiting, head-spinning entity. Linda's performance, absolute horror gold. She went from sweet and innocent to a frothing, cursing hellspawn, all with a level of authenticity that could chill the devil himself. Let's talk about the bloody impact. Blair's portrayal of Regan was so goddamn horrifying that it became the benchmark for child possession. She didn't just act, that little fucking rock star lived it. The physical torment alone, which included being rigged to a bed that jerked her violently around, would be enough to send any candy ass running home to mommy. Despite the physical and emotional toll, Blair delivered a performance that fucking resonated. It resonated so hard that it snatched a nomination for an Academy Award, a feat as rare for the horror genre as a virgin at a vampire orgy. This hellraiser of a film didn't just gift Blair a shit ton of fame, it cursed her too. The dark themes and graphic content stirred controversy like a witch stirs a cauldron of eye of newt and toe of frog. Two sides of a rancid coin, right? She became synonymous with the sinister and the supernatural. That's what happens when you're so convincing that people can't separate your ass from the role. Yet, it's her performance in The Exorcist that's the meat and bones of her legacy. People didn't just leave the theater scared, they were traumatized, clutching their crosses and shitting bricks at the mere thought of being alone in the dark. The film's influence was like an epidemic, spreading fear and fascination with the demonic across the globe. Shit, it became a cultural phenomenon that sparked countless imitations, none of which could hold a candle to the original possession fiesta. Linda Blair, with her witchcraft of acting, took what could have been a campy horror flick and turned it into a ritualistic experience. The cinematic power of The Exorcist left a scar on the face of horror that no amount of holy water can cleanse. A demonic force on screen and a motherfucking touchstone for every horror film that dared to walk in its footsteps. This, my ghastly listeners, is where Linda Blair's horror career both began and almost ended. It's ironic, ain't it? The same film that shot her stardom right up to the blackened skies of horror Valhalla also shackled her to the tight cast of trouble, possessed child. But fuck it, she embraced the twisted legacy and milked it like a snake venom cocktail. In the holy scripture of horror cinema, The Exorcist is the goddamn revelation. It wasn't just a game changer, it was the game, the ultimate nightmare, and Linda Blair was its screaming, swearing high priestess. To this day, the echo of her hellish cries and profanities resonate, terrifying new generations and keeping the spirit of classic horror alive and kicking. So let's raise a goblet of sacrificial blood, here's to Linda fucking Blair and her eternal reign as horror royalty. Well, you thought the profanity was over with The Exorcist. Fuck no, it's Dr. Ghoul Eula here to tear into the unholy motherfucker of a sequel, Exorcist 2, The Heretic. 4 years after the original scared the ever-living shit out of everyone, Linda Blair re-entered the hellish fray, older and, dare I say, more fucking fascinating. Now, if any demonic possession flick could define clusterfuck, it's this goddamned movie. Blair's performance, however, she fucking tried to rise above the film's notorious shortcomings. She's no longer the innocent, vomit-spewing kiddo, folks. The character of Regan McNeil matured, and so did Linda. She brought a new level of depth to the role, a mix of vulnerability and a creepy sort of strength born from the fucked up experiences of her past. But let's cut the crap and talk about how the film shit the bed, in the eyes of the viewers and critics alike. The viewers expected another round of shitting bricks like the first time, but The Heretic took a nosedive into the pool of supernatural bullshit. You won't find another dickhead demon puking pea soup here. Instead, you've got this weird plot with locusts and a goddamn hypnotic synchronizer. Sounds like a psychedelic trip more than a descent into hell, doesn't it? So, how did Linda handle this shitshow? She was in this godforsaken hinterland between her child actress image and whatever the hell her adult career was going to be. And, while the direction and script were as disoriented as a bat fucked by a tornado, Blair remained steady as a rock. Her conviction faced the fuckery head on, even if it meant navigating through shittily developed storylines and awful dialogue. The result was a pretty uneven balance, moments of brilliance clouded by the storm of what the fuckery that is Exorcist 2, The Heretic. The motherfuckers behind the camera, oh, they changed up the style too. None of that grimy, anxiety-inducing terror of the original. Nope. We got shiny, pretty visuals that feel incongruent as fuck with the terror the film's supposed to be delivering. It's like they thought they could polish a turd into a diamond. Didn't quite work out, eh? The reception. Audiences said, fuck this, with their wallets, and the critics crucified the damn thing. Sequels were already a cursed fucking land back then, and this one wandered into the cursed land without a goddamn compass. What's the fucking takeaway? Exorcist 2 is a testament to Linda Blair's dedication. She muscled through this cinematic hellscape and solidified her place as the patron saint of possessed teenagers. She pulled off a new take on Regan without losing the core of what made the twisted little girl so iconic. She's stronger, wiser, but still wrestling with the shitshow aftermath of demonic possession. It's a shame this film is so unbelievably fucked that people couldn't see her performance for the diamond that it was amongst a pile of cinematic crap. So, folks, next time you want to bitch about a sequel, remember Linda Blair in Exorcist 2, The Heretic. It's a sequel so fucked up it's almost legendary. Blair's performance, a series of fuck yes moments in a movie full of what the fuck decisions. Let's give credit where it's due because she sure as hell survived this motherfucking heresy of a sequel. Alright, dear listeners, let's dive into another slice of Linda fucking Blair's horror repertoire, Summer of Fear, released in the thrilling year of 1978. Brace yourselves, it's about to get downright terrifying. This film, also known as Stranger in Our House, directed by the horror maestro Wes Craven, cranked up the notch on what it meant to have a bad hair day, and I'm not just talking about the film's 70s style. Linda Blair plays Rachel Bryant, a teenage girl whose life gets turned upside down, psycho style, when her mysterious cousin Julia comes to live with her family. And let me tell you, cousin Julia is as full of shit as a Thanksgiving turkey. Now, let's get into the bloody guts of Blair's performance. After the batshit crazy role of a demonically possessed kid in The Exorcist, you'd think Blair would be typecast faster than a vampire gets a sunburn. But fuck no, in Summer of Fear, Blair showcases a different kind of terror. She slips into the skin of an everyday teenager, a far cry from her head-spinning days, proving to us all that her acting chops aren't limited to projectile vomit and unholy profanities. Bearing a more subtle and suspenseful horror, Blair demonstrates her diverse talent by exploring the paranoia and uncertainty that creeps into her character's life. When Rachel starts to suspect that Julia may not be all rainbows and sunshine, Blair channels a cunning sense of growing unease that sets your own goddamn spine on edge. It's that transition from the wide-eyed innocence to a young woman grappling with inexplicable, fearful shit that marks Blair's performance as something worth your time. Now, here's a juicy fact, Summer of Fear was actually intended for primetime fucking television, can you believe that? That's right, this made-for-TV movie took the small screen by storm. Blair here wasn't relying on gory effects or demonic tropes, instead, she fucks with the audience's minds with skilled emotional shifts and legit drama. Wes Craven, bless that man, was no stranger to screwing with audience expectations, and he leveraged Blair's status as the exorcism poster girl to throw in an extra level of meta fear. As a viewer, you're just waiting for her to go full tilt exorcist, but she holds back, showing restraint and a deeper motherfucking emotional resonance. It's like she's taunting us, playing a creepily gripping game of cat and mouse with our goddamn senses. Blair's confrontation scenes with her cousin Julia, played by Lee Purcell, are a testament to her acting range. They are gripping, filled with a fuckton of intensity that elevates the film into genuine psychological horror. Blair doesn't need to fall back on her past as Regan, she forges a new path as Rachel, embodying every teenager's nightmare of having your family turned against you by a freaky ass intruder. Let's face it, Summer of Fear might not be as iconic as The Exorcist, but it offers a new perspective on Blair's capabilities. She effectively shits on the typecasting that so many expected to follow her career, and instead, delivers as a multi-layered performance that thrills without the need for excessive gore or supernatural fuckery. In essence, Summer of Fear allowed Blair to escape the shadow of Regan McNeil, at least temporarily, by portraying a character thrust into a battle of wits rather than demonic possession. She gives us a more nuanced and identifiable kind of horror, the fear of realizing that someone you love might be a fucking nightmare in disguise. So, fans of unadulterated horror soaked with the dread of familial betrayal, take a good, hard look, or listen, in this case, to Summer of Fear. It's yet another damn testament to Linda Blair's versatility as an actress and a monumental fuck you to anyone who thought she'd one-hit wonder her way through the horror genre. Linda Blair didn't just open the door to demonic invasion, she walked through a whole corridor of roles that captured our twisted hearts and fucked with our minds in the best way possible. Listeners of the Macabre, brace yourselves as we rip open the guts of another horror treasure from Linda Blair's blood-curdling career. Hell Night, a 1981 spectacle of screams, is under the knife tonight, and fuck, it's a doozy. Barely out of her teens and ghosted by the hellish shadow of The Exorcist, Linda Blair stepped into the spooky shoes of Marty Gaines. Now, if you're gripping your seats and white-knuckling your beers in anticipation of an exorcism rehash, you can cut that shit right out. We're talking about a whole different beast here. Hell Night slithers into the terror terrain with a simple yet devilishly effective premise. Four college pledges forced to spend the night in an abandoned mansion, only to discover they're not alone. Cliché, perhaps, but hell, it's the execution that makes it a cult classic. Linda's Marty, she's not your run-of-the-mill damsel in distress, helplessly shrieking at each shadow. Nah, she's the kind of final girl who takes that terror, chews it up, and spits it out with defiance. Fuck yeah, Blair's performance exudes that 80s horror babe vibe, willful, resilient, and subtly kicking ass without overshadowing the sheer terror nipping at her ankles. Goddamn, do you feel the chilling transformation? From the vulnerable Regan McNeil to the ballsy Marty Gaines, Linda doesn't just walk through the hallowed halls of the Garth Manor, she fucking owns them. Each floorboard creak and distant howl isn't just ambiance, it's the rhythm to which Blair crafts her horror symphony, each note a deeper descent into darkness. It's in the eerie chambers and cobweb corners that Linda Blair ensures her perpetual place in horror halls of goddamn fame. Fans look at Hell Night, and they don't just see a scream queen, they witness a genre virtuoso at play, a performer who fucking morphs fear into an art form. It might not have the pea soup vomit or the twisted head spins, but shit, Hell Night grips you by the throat with an unforgiving fervor. Now, let's talk about that crumbling mansion, those haunting grounds, and the motherfuck of a setting where our dear Linda treads. It's not just a backdrop for carnage, it's a character in its own twisted right, a labyrinth that promises death at every turn. The isolation, the shadows fuck, it's a relentless assault on your senses, and Blair navigates it with an emotional depth that's both unnerving and engaging as all hell. Hell Night doesn't just rest on the laurels of its stars past. Instead, it shovels more coal into the furnace of her already infernal legacy. We see Linda not just as the kid who made a shit bricks in The Exorcist, but as an enduring icon who can carry a slamming plot on her squared shoulders. And through every scream, every tense chase, and every motherfucking crevice of fear, it's undeniable that Linda Blair, goddess of the macabre, is a force to be reckoned with. Sure, some of the shit in Hell Night might seem as dated as flared fucking jeans and disco balls to the untrained eye. But the undertones, the themes, the masterful buildup of dread, they're timeless. It's a flick that clawed out its own niche, hollered its horrific presence into the echoes of horror history, all while Linda Blair stood, unflinching, at the forefront. Before we close this bloody chapter, let's get one thing straight. Hell Night might not be the goriest or the most twisted mindfuck in your horror collection. But the relentless suspense, the palpable fear, and Linda's own transition from possessed child to badass babe, that's worth its weight in horror gold. So, Hellraisers and Night Stalkers, that's our sinfully sweet slice of Blair's horror pie for tonight. With Hell Night, Linda Blair served as a wicked dish of dread and terror, a testament to her fucking majestic reign as a scream queen supreme. Don't switch off just yet, there's more dark delights to come as we exorcise the demons from the rest of Linda Blair's illustrious career in terror. Yet ready to dive into a festering pit of horror that stinks of desperation and fear, cuz we're talking about none other than Grotesque from the fucked up year of 1988. Picture this. Linda Blair, our beloved scream queen, takes on a role that's as far from a choir girl as Satan is from heaven. Oh yeah, she's not spitting up pea soup this time, she's kicking ass and taking no prisoners. In Grotesque, this horror chick is no damsel in distress, she's an avenging fucking angel, swathed in layers of 80s fashion and attitude. The genius here is how Linda takes a character that could have been forgettable, a mere victim, and instead twists the role into a statement of fucking survival amidst a chaotic blizzard of grotesque deformities and mental decay. This little gem of a movie might not be on the tip of everyone's tongue when they praise the horror classics, but let me tell you, it's got its filthy claws deep in the meat of Blair's career. She didn't just bring her A-game, she tore the rulebook to shreds and set the damn thing on fire. She's a tough-as-nails heroine, facing off with the sort of ugly that would send lesser mortals running for the hills. Her character, Lisa, is subjected to the kind of nightmarish hell you wouldn't wish on your shittiest ex. Hunkered down in a remote cabin, shit hits the fan when a gang of fucked-up punks crashes the party. But this is Linda fucking Blair we're talking about. Rather than cower in the corner and weep, our girl shows that she's made of sterner stuff, giving as good as she gets. And let me tell you folks, the visceral terror she exhibits when shit gets real. It's the stuff of a true horror aficionado's wet dream. As for the contribution Grotesque makes to the genre and Blair's career, it's like the raunchy punk rock of 80s horror. It's raw, it's unapologetic, and it's laced with a gruesome sort of creativity that elevates the typical slasher fare to a twisted art form. It's a prime slab of Blair at her genre-defining best. The movie's legacy, while not stamped into the mainstream's cleaner cuts of horror history, is etched into the underground, infecting the minds of cultists who crave that harsh, unrefined edge. Grotesque showcases a transition in Blair's career, where she's no longer the young, demonic possession case study but an emblem of horror's ability to evolve and continue to shock, scare, and entertain. Surrounded by a cadre of characters that look like they crawled out of a cursed comic book, Blair commands the screen with the ferocity of a caged beast finally let loose. And that's the fucking brilliance of it. She's not just acting, she's embodying the fight, the struggle, and that unrelenting spirit that defines the horror heroines who won't become another body count. Blair's ferocity in Grotesque reminds us all why we fell in love with her in the first place. The chick isn't just playing a role, she is the role. And what of the flick's influence? It's the sort that tickles the dark parts of the soul, that nestles itself in your psyche and comes out to play in your nightmares. It's a reminder that beneath the pleasant veneer of civilized society lies a monster waiting to be unleashed. Blair's Lisa stands as testament to facing those monsters head on. Let's be straight, folks. Grotesque isn't just a piece of cinematic terror, it's a fucking battle cry from the depths of horror's twisted heart, and Linda Blair is the warrior queen at its center. She embodies the tenacity and the harrowing will that stamps its mark across the ages, proving that even in the darkest, most depraved scenarios, there's space for a performance that's raw, real, and undeniably badass. And it's with that bombastic spirit we celebrate Linda Blair's relentless contribution to the world of gore and despair. Linda Blair's foray into the supernatural horror genre after the hell-raising spectacle of The Exorcist didn't slow down a fucking bit when it came to witchery, a flick that hit the screens in 88, encasing all that was twisted and dark in the 80s horror scene. This film, also known as La Casa 4, threw Blair into a plot mired with spectral hauntings, witches, and a goddamn cursed hotel ready to give anyone the creeps. Blair, embodying Jane Brooks, wasn't the innocent possessed child anymore. Not by a long shot. This time she was all grown the fuck up and knee-deep in a storyline that was like a terrible, nightmarish vacation with no escape. Jane, alongside a group of diverse and unfortunate souls, a pregnant woman, a moody actress, and a photographer, among others, gets tangled in this web of supernatural shit at an isolated hotel off the coast of Massachusetts, the kind of venue that's a perfect brew for terror. Blair's character meets the demonic forces and ancient curses that lurk within the frayed walls of the eerie establishment, and shit really hits the fan. The true bloody gem of this convoluted haunt fest is the character of the witch, played by none other than Hildegard Neff. But it's Blair who anchors the film's narrative, navigating through a thick plot riddled with rituals, sacrifices, and the supernatural insanity that was the calling card of 80s horror excess. As the groovy and anxious architect's girlfriend, Blair delivers a performance that's both frazzled and determined, a far cry from the powerless youth in her bedridden, head-spinning days. Witchery is a cult masterpiece. It gleefully indulges in the genre staples, gratuitous violence, over-the-top acting, and more satanic rituals than you can shake a fucking stick at. It's a film that gives zero fucks, combining haunted house tropes and Italian horror's stylistic flair, a full-throttle gorefest with just the right amount of absurdity. Now, let's talk about the place witchery holds in the era of 80s horror. This was the fucking decade of slasher dominance, with icons like Freddy and Jason slashing their way through teens' dreams and campgrounds. But witchery, despite Blair's pedigree, wasn't just riding the pea soup spewing coattails of her previous work. It was a meld of the slasher vibe and supernatural horror, a hybrid piece that plays with the viewer's nerves like a cat with a particularly juicy mouse. In the grand, bloody cavalcade of horror, witchery doesn't exactly lead the procession, but Blair's performance here continues to reflect her commitment to the genre that made her a household name, a siren call for horror enthusiasts who adore the genre for its willingness to dive headlong into terror, tits, and torment without looking back. Horror aficionados hold the film with a sort of reverence, a middle finger to the mainstream, and champions it as a testament to the delightfully unhinged extravagance that the 80s brought to the scene. Witchery took the satanic panic that gripped the world, a world that Blair knew all too well, and transformed it into a balls-to-the-wall horror experience that's both uniquely of its time and yet timeless in its capability to entertain and fucking horrify in equal measure. Through the character of Jane Brooks, Blair brings to witchery a level of credibility that only a survivor of the priestly exorcist writes could. The horror landscape of the 80s churned out films that teetered between the downright bizarre and the cult classic. This little cinematic abomination stands firm in the latter camp, a testament to Blair's talent for bringing depth and dynamism to roles that could easily fall flat in less capable hands. To this day, witchery endures as a campy, B-movie blast from the past, a cult film whose roots are tangled in the tapestry of 80s horror, with Linda Blair serving as the fucked-up heart at its center. And in this twisted genre, a heart doesn't always beat, it sometimes screams. The year is 1989, horror fans are shitting bricks in anticipation, and Linda fucking Blair, the queen of horror herself, graces us with her presence in The Chilling. Straight up, this flick might not be every motherfucker's cup of tea, but if you're sniffing around for a film that smells like a blend of zombies, a frozen hell, and Blair's badassery, then you've hit the jackpot, baby. Let's chew the fat over Blair's role in this icy-cold clusterfuck of a movie. She's playing Mary Hampton, a character who, at first glance, might seem as icy as the setting. But don't be fooled, because Blair adds layers of complexity that prove she's not to be pigeonholed. She's not the scared, possessed kiddo anymore, she's a woman who's got bigger balls than the guys, slinging sass and taking charge when shit hits the fan. Now that's character development Satan himself would raise a glass to. Now, The Chilling ain't exactly Shakespeare, and it sure as hell ain't scoring any Academy Awards, but it's a fucking romp through and through. Zombies, mad scientists, and cryogenic tomfuckery, Blair is like the cherry on top, turning what could have been a B-movie snooze fest into a feast of fears. As for how this little gem fits into Blair's haunted hall of fame, it's like the underrated B-side of a hit vinyl. It may not have made her the scream queen she is today, that title was co-signed in blood back in 73 with The Exorcist, but The Chilling is like the spicy aftertaste of a ghost pepper, it fucks with you in unexpected ways. When we look at Blair's contribution to this frostbitten fright fest, we can see her experience in horror flicks comes in handy. Blair's no damsel, and she's not about to start now. Her portrayal of Mary is a far cry from the powerless, even if her character isn't the centerpiece. It's a testament to her chops that even when the plot's thinner than a ghost's dick, she brings the grunt to make the audience give a shit. Fuck the naysayers who dismiss, The Chilling is a skin-deep splatter film. What we have here is a flick that shows off Blair's versatility and that she can shoulder a movie, even if it's on the brink of being a hot mess, and make it worth the watch. It's not about some over-the-top gore or jump scares, it's Blair's presence, her magnetism, that transforms the film into an artifact of horror history. In the grand tapestry of horror, every thread counts, and Linda Blair's stint in The Chilling is one of those subtler strands that you might not notice at first. But upon closer inspection, you realize it adds depth and texture to the whole fucking masterpiece. This film is a stepping stone in Blair's career that leads from her raw, visceral performances as a youngster to the mature ass-kicker role she would embody later on. You could pass it off as just another credit in her filmography, but that'd be selling it short. The Chilling is a platform where Blair flexes the muscle she's built up over years of wrestling with her horror persona. It's about watching a seasoned pro navigate the waters of a genre that can be as unpredictable as a drunk snake. So, yeah, The Chilling isn't The Exorcist. It isn't even Hell Night, but it's a necessary chapter in the unholy Bible that outlines Linda Blair's ascension as a horror icon. It's a shifting point, a pivot from the innocence lost to the empowerment gained. And if you still think this movie ain't worth a watch, well, go fuck yourself sideways with a crucifix, because you're missing the point. Linda Blair could read a goddamn phone book and still captivate you with her horror heritage. So do yourself a favor, grab some popcorn, throw The Chilling on the biggest, baddest screen you've got, and appreciate a legend doing what they do best, scaring the absolute shit out of you. Huddle the fuck up, horror aficionados, it's time to plunge into the world of parody with Linda fucking Blair in Repossessed. Flashback to 1973, and little Linda scared the living shit out of everyone, getting all twisted and puke-y in The Exorcist. Fast forward to 1990, and bam, she breaks out of the mold with a twisted sense of humor in Repossessed, flipping the bird to the very film that haunted every goddamn sleepover for a generation. Blair, she's not some one-trick pony, she's the same chick who once made your skin crawl with pea soup. Now, she's cracking jokes and flipping her character on its head, like a badass who's come back to spit in the face of the old-school terror that put her on the map. Repossessed is like that freakish love child of horror and comedy, a beautiful fucked-up mess, mashing together two tastes that taste twisted together. Linda steps back into the shoes, more like the twisted back and spinning head of a possessed victim. But this time, she's older, wiser, and ready to give Father Jebediah maybe another shot at exorcism glory. Talk about stirring up nostalgic shit with a hint of mockery. Joined by the comedic powerhouse Leslie Nielsen, Blair delivers punches that land with the force of a possessed girl's slap, only, you know, funny as hell. Nielsen and Blair go together like sex at a cemetery, a blend of taboo excitement glazed in dark humor. Linda's not just dicking around in the movie. She fucking commits to the slapstick and absurdity, showing she's got the comedic chops to match her horror expertise. No half-assed shit here, her dedication is like a meat grinder churning through the scenery with every twisted-faced crackpot gag. You can tell that Repossessed wants to be more than just a spoof, it wants to take the possessive spirit of The Exorcist and ride it hard through every damn cliche, poking fun at the possession trope with a sharp, irreverent stick. Linda Blair, goddamn, she makes this tricky genre-bending shit look easy. She uses charisma, even when she's snarling satanic gibberish or spoofing that iconic head spin. She knows this motherfucking scene, she milked it, spun it around, and punted it into comedy gold with the ease of a supernatural pro. Sure, Repossessed may not have everyone shaking in their boots, but Blair ensures it shakes up a laugh, or frankly, a shitload of them. It becomes clear, she's not only unafraid to revisit the demonic playground of her youth, but ready to take the piss out of it for the pleasure of her devoted horror hounds. You've got gags about televangelism, hokey special effects, and every damn thing the 70s took way too seriously. Let's cut the crap. Does Repossessed redefine cinematic genius? Hell no, but what it does is let Linda Blair shine in a way that says, look motherfuckers, I can scare you, but I can sure as shit make you chuckle too. It's one wild fucking ride replete with callbacks and enough piss takes to make you think twice the next time your bed starts rocking for no fucking reason. In conclusion, Repossessed ain't just a parody, it's an artifact, an explicit stamp on the grand page of horror comedies, with Linda Blair front, center, and as fucking irreverent as ever. It's a testament to her versatility, her humor, and her undying legacy as a scream queen who isn't afraid to laugh in the face of the demon that made her a goddamn legend. So here's to Linda Blair and Repossessed, the movie that said fuck you to serious horror and embraced the downright ludicrous with its arms wide open. Shifting gears to the mid-90s, a tumultuous era for horror where shock value and explicit scenes were starting to blend with psychological elements, we land at Sorceress. Released in 1995, this film is something of a fucking oddity. Not quite the blood-soaked slock from earlier decades, nor the cerebral haunts that would come to define the latter part of the 90s. Linda Blair, our beloved queen of the damned, jumps into Sorceress with a role that would have most actresses running scared shitless. But not Blair, no, she tackled this film with the same ballsy grit that shot her into the limelight in The Exorcist. Let's cut to the chase, Sorceress was no masterpiece. It was a mixed bag of witchcraft-themed erotica and low-budget effects. It's the kind of movie you'd watch at 3 a.m. on some obscure channel, where the lines between arousal and discomfort are blurred as fuck. And yet, Linda's performance, it's like a shining beacon in a sea of mediocrity. She brings sincerity to a role that could have easily been just another notch on the bedpost of D-list horror. In Sorceress, Blair plays Amelia Reynolds, a woman caught in a web of mystical murder and betrayal. What matters here isn't just that she's phenomenal in the role, it's how she seems to understand the core of what makes horror so damn appealing. She's seductive, she's powerful, and she's knee-deep in the occult shit that horror fans gobble up. Linda brings a certain humanity to Amelia, a fucking impressive feat when you consider that the film itself seems to eschew all sense of restraint. Now, look at the broader picture of horror in the 90s. You've got movies like Scream, revving up to redefine the slasher, you've got Silence of the Lambs, making serial killers the new stars, and then there's fucking Sorceress, a movie that relies more on TNA than terror. But Blair, she's the motherfucking anchor that keeps this ship from drifting into irrelevance. She manages to give a performance that's both sexy and scary, a tough combo to nail, especially when you're straddling a line that could turn into parody any goddamn second. And it's not just Blair's acting chops here. The film's alignment with the 90s trends is something to note. Sorceress may not have set the box office on fire, but it understands its audience. The 90s were about pushing limits, testing the waters of what horror could be. Fucking with the audience's expectations. Linda Blair seems to get that intuitively. She plays to those expectations, but with a wink and nod that lets you know she's in on the joke. In conclusion, Linda Blair in Sorceress is a fascinating study. It's like she's straddling the line between the visceral, guttural horror of her youth and the more psychologically complex horror that was starting to emerge. She's the bridge between the generations, a living testament to the changing currents of the genre. With Sorceress, Blair shows that she can still shock, she can still captivate, and she can shore. Ladies and gentlemen, horror enthusiasts, and freaks of nature, I'm your host, Dr. Ghoul Yula, and if you've got a fucking heartbeat, you better prepare for it to race. We're diving into the depths of Linda Blair's formidable horror career, and let me tell you, even at the tail end, she didn't lose her goddamn touch in making our skin crawl. Now, let's talk about All Is Normal from 2008. This gem is tucked away in the crevices of Blair's dark filmography. And when I say this movie sends chills down your spine, you better believe it's the kind of chills that could freeze hell over. She left us all soiled after her iconic possession in The Exorcist, but fast forward to All Is Normal, and here we have Blair, a veteran of viscera, taking on a different brand of horror. This shit isn't about rotating heads or pea soup cuke, it's psychological, it's nuanced, and it's fucking eerie. Blair embraces a more restrained horror that burrows under your fucking skin, a testament to her versatility as the queen of creep. In All Is Normal, Blair isn't the victim or the possessed. No, she's Barbara Stern, a twisted motherfucker with intentions darker than a black cat in a coal mine. She strayed away from the supernatural and into the mindfuck territory of the human psyche. Her ability to transition from the young Regan McNeil, tormented by a demon, to portraying someone who could very well be the devil in a dress, is nothing short of brilliant. The film's title, All Is Normal, is deceptive as a priest in a whorehouse because nothing, and I mean nothing, is normal about this flick. Linda Blair, almost like a wolf in sheep's clothing, lures you into a false sense of security and then, wham! You're in a labyrinth of madness that makes you question your own sanity. That's the Blair effect, powerful enough to keep you up at night, checking under your bed and in your fucking closet for any sign of Barbara Stern. Blair's performance is a masterclass in subtlety. Her chilling portrayal fleshes out a character that is both complex and deeply unsettling. You're not going to get the cheap thrills of jump scares here. Your frightened shitless moments come from the realization of what human beings are capable of when pushed past the brink in Blair. Goddamn, she pushes you far. With All Is Normal, Linda proved once again why she's the motherfucking heavyweight champion of horror. She didn't need to rely on the old bag of tricks, no demonic possession, no gratuitous gore. Just pure, psychological terror facilitated by a descent into madness that we eagerly follow her down. The stark contrast between this movie and her earlier works is jarring. Think about it, you go from a demonically possessed teen in The Exorcist, where her character's terror was projected onto us through visceral, explicit horror, to a character like Barbara Stern who terrorizes through manipulation and subtlety. She illustrates that true horror isn't always about what can be seen or touched. Sometimes, it's about what lurks in the dark corners of the human mind, and Blair navigates those dark corners like she built the fucking maze. So if you haven't seen All Is Normal, brace yourselves, you sick fucks, and prepare for a deep dive into the parts of the horror genre that don't need to scream to chill your bones. Blair will take you there, silently, and you'll thank her for it. This film may not be as widely recognized as her stint as Regan McNeil, but it's a standout in her more contemporary work. Linda Blair has always been more than her role in The Exorcist. Her legacy is painted not just with the greens and reds of vomit and blood, but with the shades of gray that haunt us in All Is Normal. And that, my gore-loving ghouls, is how Linda Blair kept us captivated and contributed to the genre in a role that is as disturbingly human as it is brilliantly portrayed. Hats off to Blair for proving that whether it's the slap-you-in-the-face horror of the 70s or the calm-before-the-storm creep of 2008, she'll fuck with your sense of normal until all you're left with is fear. Pure, unadulterated fucking fear. When the fucking name Linda Blair comes to mind, every self-respecting horror fan knows the shit she contributed to our beloved genre is nothing short of fucking legendary. She didn't just play in the sandbox of horror, she bloody well broke the mold with her Devil May Care attitude and the raw, visceral performances she threw down. Now, let's get the cliche out of the way, The Exorcist, a film that raged across the world like a fucking demonic wildfire. But without Linda, would that film have clawed its way into the annals of horror history? Unfucking likely. Her role as Regan McNeil was not just a job well done, it was a triumphant example of what happens when perfect fucking casting slams into brilliant execution. She birthed an icon, that green pea soup spewing, head spinning, possessed little girl, and became the standard by which all other possession performances are compared. You can't even mutter, possession flick, without some motherfucker immediately thinking of Linda Blair and The Exorcist. It's not just about the characters she portrayed, it's about the shit stirring, the debates, the upheaval she brought to cinema. Linda's role in The Exorcist whipped the conservative crowds into such a frenzy they were trying to ban the film, calling it blasphemy, a fucking threat to the fabric of society. And yet, her performance was so compelling, it turned those fear-mongering cunts on their heads, as viewers couldn't help but be mesmerized by what was unfurling on the screen. From there, she sparked a cavalcade of female leads in horror that didn't just scream and run upstairs when they should have run out the fucking door, but they fought, they confronted, and they outsmarted the bastards haunting their asses. The horror heroines that came after Linda Blair owe her a huge-ass debt for paving the shuddery, spooky road they walk on. Let's dig into her other appearances in the carnival of horror that was the 80s. We're talking about Hell Night, where she plays a badass who survived the night while every asshole around her is losing their shit and their lives to a grotesque boogeyman. Witchery and grotesque both hallmark Linda's versatility, allowing her to stretch her abilities and present different facets of fear to an eager audience. She wasn't locked into the psyche of a one-trick pony, she could own any goddamned role she was given. Even when Blair took a spin on the lighter side of the genre with Repossessed, she showed us she could take the piss out of the very character that scared the living fuck out of everyone years before, while still delivering belly laughs and screams. The genius of parody is often lost on actors who can't manage to balance homage with humor, but not on Linda. She understood the genre enough to toy with it and come out the other end with her dignity and the audience's love intact. The respect she musters from the cult of freaks and ghouls that declare themselves genre aficionados is nothing short of astounding. The Exorcist isn't just her legacy, it's the horde of demon offspring it spawned, the films, the TV shows, the books, and the motherfucking Halloween costumes that are tried and true go-tos every year. And let's face facts, apart from terrifying the living shit out of everyone, The Exorcist and subsequent films surely contributed to the pile of money that's been made from horror flicks that follow young women struggling against supernatural bullshit trying to ruin their lives. Even to this day, the whisper of spin-offs, reboots, and homages related to The Exorcist keeps circulating like foul incense smoke in a black mass service. And each time those rumors bubble up, who's the fucking high priestess in the crowd's mind? You got it, Linda goddamn Blair. So, while some snooty cineasts might turn up their nose at horror, we know the score. We know that within the blood-splattered tapestry of this genre, there are performances, fierce, unforgettable, and, at times, absolutely fucking terrifying. Linda Blair's contribution to this canvas is so indelible, so fucking integral, that without her, the whole picture would be incomplete. In conclusion, when we peer into the darkness that our beloved horror genre explores, when we feel the goosebumps, the thrill, the adrenaline, know this, part of it, a good, sizable, screaming part of it, is because Linda Blair fucked us all up in the best possible way. She provided a roadmap through her roles on maintaining that delicate dance between gory and glory, between shock and skill. So, here's to Linda, motherfucking Blair, the priestess of horror, the nightmare of norms, the queen who made us fear our own beds. Raise your horns, your glasses, your goddamn chainsaws to the sky for her, for the legacy she leaves is truly, undeniably, horrifically unparalleled. All right, you gore-hungry ghouls and nightcrawlers, it's Dr. Ghoul Eula locking down the crypt on this devilish dive into the horror queen herself, Linda fucking Blair. As we've sliced and diced through the meat of her career, you've gotta admit, this scream siren's bevy of blood-curdling flicks has left a stain on the genre that no holy water could ever wash away. From the gut-wrenching convulsions and puke-spewing possession in The Exorcist, this hellcat clawed her way into the annals of horror history. Linda goddamn Blair didn't just play Regan, she fucking owned it, unleashing a performance so terrifying that it's been chilling the bones of audiences for goddamn decades. But Linda didn't stop after spitting pea soup at priests. Oh no, she took her horror chops to new fucked up heights in the polarizing follow-up, Exorcist 2, The Heretic. Sure, it was a shitshow that baffled the hell out of us, but fuck me sideways, Linda gave it her all, proving she wasn't a one-hit wonder. And let's not forget the terror she served up year after batshit crazy year. Summer of Fear showed us her range, while Hell Night trapped us with her in a maze of madness. Her dedication to twisted tales of torment is the stuff of goddamn legend. Here's to Grotesque, Witchery, and The Chilling. Like a fucking relentless specter, Linda haunted our screens in these flicks that, let's face it, were as fucked up as a vegetarian at a barbecue. And who in their right mind could ever erase from their deliciously demented minds Linda's batshit bonkers return in Repossessed? A goddamn parody where she skull-fucked our nostalgia and had us choking on our own laughter, a twisted reminder that the power of Christ compels you to have a fucking good time. Let's hear it for her dark magic in Sorceress and the more recent, chilling vibes of All Is Normal. Admit it, this woman's got more lives than the black cats crossing your path on a moonless night, and we're fucking here for every resurrection. So here we are, my fellow fiends of fright, at the end of this bloody good ride. Linda Blair, you've given us nightmares, screams, and the shivers in all the right fucking places. You've single-handedly schooled a generation in what true horror looks like and left a legacy that makes all the other pretenders look like they're trick-or-treating in goddamn pillowcases. From a possessed teen to the diverse demons you've tackled across your career, you're the fucking high priestess of horror, the ultimate scream queen, and you wear that crown of thorns with a middle finger raised high to the ordinary and safe. There's no fucking doubt, Linda Blair, you've carved your name deep into the heart of the horror genre, and like the darkest incantation, it'll echo through the halls of eternity, long after the last candle's flame has died. This is Dr. Ghoul Eula signing off, but remember, the terror never really ends, there's always a sequel. So, keep the lights off and your eyes open because you never know when the shadows might hold more than your deepest, darkest fears. Stay sinful, you sick fucks, and keep worshipping at the altar of horror until the next ghastly gathering. Good night, and let the nightmares fucking begin.